On the past Lord's Day, I brought before you two individual cases of those that exercised true religion. Firstly, the woman that comes full of repentance and shame and stands behind the Lord Jesus Christ with tears of true godly sorrow falling from her eyes. This woman received God's salvation. And then in the afternoon we considered the woman named Lydia, who was a seeker after the Lord Jesus Christ and came to the place where the Lord would meet with his people, where prayer was wont to be made, remembering that prayer sent forth is ever answered by the Lord. We do not know what the thoughts of this woman was, but nevertheless, the Apostle Paul's preaching touched her as the Lord opened her heart to receive the truth of God's holy word. And again, she was made a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. This evening, as the Lord may direct me, I would like to speak to you of a third case of real religion. And in a sense, this perhaps is the most diverse of all the cases. And we will see as we proceed with it where those diversities lie. Now, by way of text, I want to just relate a few words, but I shall hope to speak of the whole portion. So in the 19th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, in the 3rd verse, we read this: "He sought to see Jesus." He sought to see Jesus. We're told in the first verse that the Lord Jesus Christ was passing through Jericho. Jericho was a city that was condemned. You may remember in the book of Joshua, Joshua was to lead the army of Israel and to destroy this great city. And this band of men that Joshua led, according to the Lord's direction, 6 days around the city, no doubt looking at those great walls upon the which the city received its defense, and the natural impossibility of overcoming such a city as that, which was totally secured. But the Lord knew what he would do. And on that seventh day, the walls of Jerusalem fell down. Remarkable, amazing, tremendous must have been the sight for the children of Israel, who proceeded to go and burn the city and to kill the people. But the Lord did not leave the city without one monument of his grace. A woman named Rahab believed God and hid the spies who had come to spy out the land, and for that she received a promise that when the children of Israel would destroy the city, she and those with her would be saved. And so Rahab stands in the Old Testament as one who believed in God. We have then in the New Testament another case of one that finds salvation. And behold, that word behold, as it is used in many times in the Bible, is a word of direction to us to take especial note of that which precedes. There was a man named Zacchaeus. The word Zacchaeus really means pure and innocent. That was the name that this man was given. But his character was very different from what his name suggested, because he was the chief among the publicans. And we can infer, and I believe rightly infer from this, that he was a wicked man. The publicans were the Romans' tax collectors. Rome had conquered Judea and Jerusalem and were their masters. And the people were subject unto the Romans, who brought them into hardship. They were laid under a heavy burden. And so for one of their own people to be an agent for their conquerors would have brought him into hatred among the people. Not only did they despise the fact that they had to pay money to the Romans, that they had to pay their taxes to a conquering power, but also these publicans became rich because they charged the people more than they should have done. And this was very common among all the publicans. And yet, here we have the chief among the publicans. And we're told he was rich. He became rich by his ill-gotten gain. And you can imagine that such a one, who was of the nation of Israel, who should have stood alongside with his brethren, nevertheless took the Romans' part. A man then that was lusting after riches. Well, this man came to have a desire. And doubtless that desire was put in his heart by the Holy Spirit. As we saw on the Lord's Day, the Lord works in two directions. He brings the sinner to Christ and Christ to the sinner. His providences work, as it were, at both ends. And the Lord must needs go through Jericho. And this man had a desire that he might see the Lord Jesus. What a mercy if we should have such a desire. If we have come here tonight with that request upon our hearts and upon our spirit, sir, we would see Jesus. How sad is our condition by nature. How far off from God we often know ourselves to be. How often can we truly say that we are seeking to see Jesus, to have a view by faith of yon lovely man, to fix our eyes upon his beauty? But Zacchaeus had this desire. But it seemed as though his desire would be thwarted, because there were two things which made it impossible. The first was that there was a great crowd around the Lord Jesus Christ. This great press, as it is set before us here, were all mingling around the Lord Jesus Christ, and Zacchaeus found it impossible to try and break through them. Secondly, he was a man of small stature, and so he couldn't see over the heads of those that surrounded the Lord Jesus Christ. So would he prove that it was an impossibility to have this view of Jesus? Well, there was something working in Zacchaeus, evidently, because he was not to be denied the opportunity of looking upon him. And so he ran before. That is, he went before the crowd. And again, you know, if we don't go before the crowd, there's something wrong with our religion. These that surrounded the Lord Jesus Christ, for the most part, were mere professors of religion. They had no real religion. They were only there because of Christ's popularity, because others were there. And we see that several times in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if we do not surpass the desire of these people, then our religion is all wrong. But Zacchaeus was not to be denied. And so he goes before. And what does he do? He climbs up a sycamore tree, that he might gaze down, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ would pass that way. And so he waited and bided his time until the progress of the dear Saviour made its way to where he was. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. Remarkable. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. So often, and this seems contrary to the normal way in which the Word of God sets forth the way of salvation. Generally, people are brought to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in his wonderful mercy and compassion, he looks down upon them. He sees them lowly before him. But with Zacchaeus, he looks up. And doubtless Zacchaeus looks down in great astonishment that the Lord Jesus Christ has seen him. This very moment, I believe, wrought an eternal change in the direction of this man. Here, salvation came to him. One look from the Lord Jesus Christ will melt the heart of even the hardest sinner. And no doubt it melted Zacchaeus' heart. He thought that he would just get a glimpse of Jesus as he passed by. And it must have been with great astonishment indeed when the Lord Jesus Christ stopped and purposely looked up. It shows the wonderful sovereignty of God, that he knows exactly where all his people were. No one had told him. No one had directed him to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, no doubt, was hidden among the leaves of that sycamore tree. But the Lord could see him, and he sees all his people. And at the appointed time, he will grant a gaze from his lovely face, which will make the sinner tender in his fear. Not only does he look up, but he also speaks. As Zacchaeus, come down. But not just come down, make haste and come down. Make haste and come down. Generally, and we have it in the prophecy of Isaiah, that we are to act slowly. And here is, as it were, another contradiction. We are not to make haste. But here the Lord Jesus Christ directs him to make haste and to come down. My sheep hear my voice. The good shepherd speaks, and those that are his will hear his voice. Not only will they hear it, but they follow me. Also, they receive his direction. They're made willing to obey his will, to keep his commandments. Make haste and come down. You see, the Lord will have this man humbled. Doubtless, as a publican, the chief publican, he was a very proud man. Proud of his great gain, of his status in the nation as a governor, as it were, for the Romans. But the Lord will humble all those that come to him. It is a true mark and evidence of the work of grace in the hearts of God's people that they are humbled under the mighty hand of God. They're brought low, low at the feet of Jesus. And here this man comes down and stands before the Lord Jesus Christ. Then something else. Exceedingly remarkable. He says, for today I must abide at thy house. For today I must abide at thy house. Remember that Zacchaeus had an expectation of a glimpse of the passing Saviour. This exceeded all his expectations. He did not expect the Lord Jesus to stand still, nor did he expect him to look up with that knowledge that he knew that Zacchaeus was in the tree. Nor did he expect the Lord Jesus Christ to speak to him and to give him direction, to come down to be with him. Nor did he expect him to invite himself into Zacchaeus' house. How wonderful is our wonder-working God. It may seem strange to us, this case, which is so different from most other cases. And yet, we see the sovereignty of God in singling out his people. And wherever they are, they may be found. And there was a time in the life of this man when the Lord Jesus Christ would make salvation known unto him. This could not have happened before, neither could it have been delayed. And so it is in the case of all God's people that there will come a time when sovereign grace will operate upon their hearts and make them willing in the day of his power to come to him. Come unto me, the Saviour says. Or to receive such a thrilling invitation. The wonders of God's grace to such an unworthy creature. And doubtless, Zacchaeus felt himself to be perhaps the very worst of all those that abided in Jericho, that wicked city. Remember the man who went from Jerusalem down to Jericho? And we've often thought it was a downward move that the man made. And because of that move, he came into great tribulation. So Jericho was notorious for great wickedness. And this man seems to have exceeded all of them. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Little wonder that he made haste. Where the word of the king is, there is power. And however hard or obdurate our hearts are, if the Lord should speak a word of direction, then there will be an immediate compliance with his holy will. We will in effect say, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Have we come tonight desirous to see the Lord Jesus Christ? And perhaps we've come with unbelief, not believing that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to come to us. I think Zacchaeus would have felt this. He knew what he was, but the Lord had put a desire in his heart. And now he is anxious to see this one of whom so much had been spoken of. And no doubt he had heard the reports of the wonderful miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ had performed, the gracious words that had fallen from his lips, how he spake as never man spake, how he had authority, unlike the scribes. Perhaps it was curiosity. And it may have been curiosity at the beginning, but I believe the Lord used it, whatever it might have been, to give him that desire that he must see the Lord Jesus Christ. Not expecting, as we have said, that the Lord Jesus Christ would see him. And is there not a who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious unto us? Is there not a who can tell when we come to the house of God, when we come to hear the word of God, we perhaps do not expect that word to be communicated to us alone, that we might be the single object of the Lord's direction, that he might put words in his servant's mouth that are for the profit of some individual soul, or perhaps more than one. The Lord is able. We often feel that it is an impossibility with us. We perhaps have seen others who have followed the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet there has been something that has hindered us. Perhaps there's been a crowd around the Lord Jesus Christ, and perhaps we have not been able to overview that crowd. And what can we do? Have we given up? Have we come to despair? Well, I don't believe so, because we continue to come. And whilst we continue to come, is there not hope that there may come a day, a time, when the Lord Jesus Christ will meet with us, when he will, as it were, look into our face, and we will look into his. And there will be that instant union and communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. And our whole lives will be immediately changed. Our characters will be very different after than they were before. I said that this case is unique, and it's unique in this sense that here the Lord has met with Zacchaeus, and I believe that in that meeting salvation has been made known unto him. But it is after this that the man is brought to repentance. And again, we see that the Lord is not conformed to any principle of mankind. The Lord operates exactly as he will. Some he brings to a deep repentance, like the woman behind him in the Pharisee's house. But here, in this singular case, this different case, the man is brought to repentance after the fact. But what it displays to us is how sovereign grace operates in the hearts of God's people. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." See how different his attitude is now to what it was prior to his meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. How his pride had fallen. And now in humility, he recognizes, he acknowledges his sin before the Lord. or mercy if we're brought to repentance, to confess our sins. For if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This was Zacchaeus' case. But look at the crowd. When they saw it, they all murmured. They murmured that the Lord Jesus should go into a sinner's house. No doubt they would have had him come into their house, and they thought that they were worthy that he should come into their house, because they had not understood that they were sinners in his sight. They were able to condemn this man, but they didn't bring condemnation upon themselves. They were oblivious to their own condition. Like the Pharisee and the publican in the temple, the Pharisee has no understanding of his condition because he justifies himself, whilst the publican can do nothing but smite upon the seat of his sin and make humble confession before God and prove his own unworthiness. Now it is to such that the Lord Jesus gives heed. The proud he seeth afar off, but the humble he draws near unto them. And what a divine favour that the Lord Jesus Christ should go into the house of this Pharisee, this publican rather. This man was rich, no doubt he had an opulent house, servants to sustain, guests. But this change that had come upon this person was real and it was dramatic. And as he said, so would he do. He saw the wrongness of his actions. He saw the corruption of his heart. And now he seeks restitution to the poor. He seeks to put the wrongs right as much as he possibly can. This is a completely different attitude. One day he is robbing the poor. Now he is giving to the poor and restoring, according to the law of Moses, four times that which he has taken. Now there are two reasons that the Lord Jesus Christ himself gives for Zacchaeus' salvation. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. In other words, to Zacchaeus himself. And the two reasons are, first, for as much as he is also a son of Abraham. Doubtless being a Jew, he was a descendant naturally of Abraham. But this was not the Lord's meaning in this case. What he means is that he is a spiritual son of Abraham. He has like precious faith with the father of the faithful. That faith which God had given him. That faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That faith to receive him unto himself, that faith to live a life of faith upon the Son of God. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. And then secondly, the great purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus was a lost sinner. And we all by nature are sinners. But how many know that they are lost sinners? It is to such that the Son of Man has come. He's come firstly to seek them out, to set them apart, to separate them from the world, from sin, and from sorrow. And it is a wonderful thing if we, being sons and daughters of Abraham, the Lord has come to seek us out. And not only does he seek, but there is a fulfillment of his seeking, and that is to save that which is lost. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. That sheep that has wandered off from the sheepfold, and there in its vulnerable condition, can do nothing for itself. Distraught, weak, helpless, vulnerable. And yet the Good Shepherd seeks the sheep and brings it joyfully upon his shoulder. And there is great rejoicing. We read that there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Here we have heard the repentance of Zacchaeus. Salvation comes first in his case, and repentance comes afterwards. And I believe that these cases, being diverse, are for the comfort of God's people. How often do we hear that there is a pattern whereby a sinner comes to salvation, that they follow certain ways, they come into certain places? But this is turned upside down by this account, because the Lord worked very differently in the case of Zacchaeus to that which he did with the woman that came behind him, to that which he did to the woman whose heart he opened. Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus. He little realized what the outcome of that seeking the Lord Jesus Christ will be. And doubtless he was greatly surprised at the outcome. And so may it be with us. Are we seeking after Jesus? Are we seeking to see him by the eye of faith? Are we seeking to see him in his holy word? Are we seeking to see him as he is made known unto us under the preaching of the gospel? These are the ways that we seek Jesus. And all those that seek him will not be disappointed. To their utter surprise, the Lord Jesus Christ sees them because he knows where they are. He has known where they are. From their conception, from their birth, throughout their lives, to this present moment of time. And although he sees them in their lost state and condition, although he sees them plagued with that hideous monster of sin, yet he has compassion upon them. here is one who is utterly unworthy of the least of all God's mercy. But we are no different from Zacchaeus. We also are utterly unworthy of the least of his mercy toward us. But oh, may the cry come out of our hearts, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Lord add his blessing. Amen.